Bishop McIntyre, my dear brother deacon, priests and deacons, especially the deacons whose 30th anniversary of ordination we celebrate today. Brothers, would you please stand for a moment so we might acknowledge you? So, dear priests, dear deacons, my dear brother knights, earlier this morning I was invested as a knight of St. Peter Claver. So, wonderful choir, we're grateful for your presence, dear sisters and brothers in Christ. First of all, I'd like to apologize to the people sitting on the left side of the church who can't see me. I'm sitting down because I have a bad knee, which will be replaced on December the 4th. So if you could please pray that that surgery goes very, very well, and then next year I'll be standing there where you can see me, okay? I will very much appreciate your prayers. I understand this is the 50th time in 50 years that we gather to celebrate the Feast of St. Martin de Porres. How many of you have been present for every one of those celebrations? a couple here. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. So 50 years is a lot of years, but in the history of the church, a very short period of time. What I'd like to do, I speak briefly about our saint, St. Martin de Porres, and then talk about the virtues I'm going to mention in the light of today's scripture readings. Our prayer at the opening of Mass refers to St. Martin as a radiant example of Christian life. Radiant means to shine. And so the church is presenting him not only to this community gathered at this moment in Philadelphia, but to the whole world as a clear and shining example of Christian life. We thank God for that gift, and we ask the Lord to help us today to get over admiring St. Martin so that we might begin to follow his example. It's easy to talk about the saints. It's much harder to become one. Because what's necessary if you want to become one is a commitment that takes your time, your focus, and the giving of your life. So we ask the Lord to do that for us today. Three things about St. Martin that I would propose to you today. Earlier, I read again a short biography of his life, and I think these words summarized what I read and really do in some clear way summarize what St. Martin de Porres was about. He was presented as a humble man. He was presented as a man who lived a disciplined life. And he was presented as a man who was devoted to Christ in the Holy Eucharist. I think most of us, when we think of St. Martin de Porres, think of the man who cared for the sick and the poor. And he certainly did that. But that was only part of his life, a part of life that showed both his humility and his discipline, his self-discipline. So it's important for us to imitate that part of St. Martin's life, but it's also important for us to try to do more, to stretch our lives to be more like him, that we might become truly humble and truly disciplined so that we might give ourselves even more generously to Christ and to others. First of all, what does it mean to be humble? St. Martin de Porres was a humble man. We see an example of that in today's gospel, which is from the Gospel of St. Luke. Jesus was invited to a dinner party, in the home of a very important person. And it says here that he noticed the people were trying to find a position of more importance at table. So he gave a lesson to his disciples, a lesson that was very practical and a lesson that in some sense was very secular. And then at the end of that lesson, he gave the true teaching of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. So let's look at this story. Jesus told a parable to those who had been invited. When you are invited to by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. Now, for us to understand this, we have to understand that the Jewish people didn't eat like we do in Jesus' time. They reclined at table, something like this, you know. And the ones who were, I guess, most important were the ones who sat at the head of the table and reclined closest to the person who was the host for the dinner party. So Jesus says to those who were listening to him, don't do that. There's a danger that you'll be embarrassed. He goes on to say, a more distinguished guest than you may have been invited, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, give your place to this man. And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, Jesus says, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, my friend, move up to a higher place. Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at table. Now that's a very practical lesson on not to be embarrassed. And it doesn't sound very Christian, because it isn't. It's a very secular way of understanding how to avoid embarrassment in a social circumstance. So we can listen to that and certainly we pay attention. But the next words of Jesus are the lessons he gives to those of us who want to be his disciples, who want to follow him. And so these are the important words of that gospel. Jesus goes on to say, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The implication is by God. So Jesus is telling us, you know, you can avoid embarrassment by doing this, but if you really want to be my disciple, you're going to become a woman or a man who humbles himself rather than exalts himself. So we have to ask the Lord, what do you mean by humility? What does the Lord mean by humility? Some people think that humility means you put yourself down or you pretend to be worse than you are. When someone says you're a great cook, and you are, a humble person would say, oh no, I'm not, which would be a lie, right? Humility, in the Christian fashion, is always knowing and acting out of the truth. We don't exaggerate ourselves. We don't underestimate ourselves. We always speak the truth. The word humility comes from a Latin word, like many of our English words, and that Latin word is humus, which means what? Dirt. Now, people say, well, that means you treat yourself like dirt. No. It means acknowledging that we come from where? When God created Adam and Eve, what did he do? He took the dust of the earth and he blew his spirit into the dirt and formed a man. So we come from the creative hand of God, and we were made from the material of this world, and we were given an immortal spirit, a mortal soul, when God created us. So it's the truth. I mean, we are in some sense dirt, because that's where we came from. But we are noble dirt that's loved by God and made extraordinary, right? So humility is always knowing the truth about our relationship with God. Young ladies, if you're beautiful, who caused that? Did you make yourselves beautiful? No. You might have gone to the beautician, but that can't help a whole lot in some circumstances, right? No. If you are beautiful, that's a result of the way that God made you. And you received your physical features from your parents. So beauty is not something we do for ourselves, it's something we receive. So if someone says to you, young ladies, you're beautiful, and you really are, the right answer is thank you. But also then you thank God, who is the true source of your beauty. Young men who are here, if you're great athletes, you're great football players or basketball players, and someone says to you, you're a great basketball player, if you're a humble person, what do you say? Thank you. If you're good, you say thank you. But at the same time, you think of the source of the gift of your athletic ability. It's a gift that you receive from God and again through your parents. It's not something you've done for yourself. Humility is knowing the truth about ourselves and acknowledging it. Again, not exaggerating ourselves, not bragging that I'm great or I'm beautiful or I'm smart. Because you're nothing without it being a gift from God, which comes to us oftentimes through other people, through our parents. Saint Martin de Porres was a humble man. He knew who he was. He came from difficult circumstances. He came from a family that was a broken family. You know, his father didn't acknowledge who he was. His mother was an unwed mother. She was an ex-slave. But those difficult circumstances of his life didn't lead St. Martin to put himself down or to play the victim. You know, he knew that where he came from, he knew because his mother was a great Christian teacher, apparently. She was the one who taught him the faith in his early years. He knew the truth about who he was because God loved him. He knew he was a child of God. He knew that he was a man with talent because he became a barber who became a surgeon. You know, in those days, the barbers were the surgeons. I guess when they cut people shaving and let a little blood out, that was a sign they were good surgeons. I don't know. But they were the surgeons were the doctors. But he was a man who had some talent. But he knew that most of all, most importantly, he was a child of God. And he knew that not only about himself, but he knew it about other people. And that's why he cared for the sick. And that's why he took care of the poor. Because he knew who they were in relationship to God. If God was Martin's father, God is also the father of the other people. And that means we're brothers and sisters to one another. That's the truth. And humility is always living and acknowledging the truth. Not just acknowledging it, but living it. He lived the truth of the relationship of others as his brothers and sisters in his real and practical life. And because of that, he's someone for us to admire. St. Martin, according to the biography I read today, was also a man of great discipline. You know, he did many physical disciplines, penances. He's a man who spent long hours before the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel on a daily basis. He's a man who put his faith into daily practice in a very disciplined way. Discipline is not a virtue of the 21st century. We tend to be couch potatoes. Not just in terms of the television, but in terms of our spiritual life. We're satisfied to read about the saints, but we're not very interested in becoming saints. Now, we don't spend long hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament or anywhere. You know, we don't do physical penances anymore. We don't fast. We don't abstain. We don't give up things in order to give things to the poor. You know, we live in a world that's full of self-satisfaction. When we're upset and nervous, we don't go to church to pray anymore. We go to the mall and spend money to take care of ourselves, to medicate our pain by more possessions. Or we go to the bar and we get something to drink. Or we go to pornography. And those are the symptoms of our time. We live in an undisciplined world. If we're going to be Christians, we have to be women and men who discipline ourselves. Which means that we don't take ourselves too seriously. We know that we need to be tamed, that our passions, which can get us into trouble, need to be tamed. And we can't do it by ourselves. We need the discipline of serious practical schedules in our lives of getting up and going to work and practicing virtue and serving other people rather than desiring to be served. So Saint Martin is a wonderful example for all of us today to become women and men who are humble and disciplined servants of the Lord. The third characteristic of Saint Martin was he had a great love for the Eucharist. He would pray before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament all the time. Oh, I forgot to mention today's first reading. I have to do that in relationship to discipline. This first reading, which is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, is very interesting. For us to understand it, we have to understand what St. Paul was, what the general thing he was talking about. He was talking about the fact that he had enemies within the Christian community. He had preachers going around preaching against him. And in response to that contradiction, or those people who acted like his enemies, St. Paul didn't do what we do, which is pay them back, right? This is what St. Paul says. Brothers and sisters, as long as in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed, in this I rejoice. So St. Paul is saying here, even if these bad Christians who are hypocrites, even if they attack me, it doesn't make any difference. The only thing that makes a difference is that Jesus Christ is glorified. So even if he's glorified by these people who aren't living truthful lives, I'm happy and I'm satisfied. He goes on in this reading to say, you know, sometimes I feel like I should die and go to heaven where things will be peaceful and I won't have all these problems. But then when I pray, I understand all that would satisfy me. It would make me very happy to die and be with Christ. But then I understand that Christ might want me to stay and continue to do my work so that you might be brought to Christ and the work of God might be accomplished. So St. Paul is saying, I'm willing to give up what I want in order to do what God wants of me so that I can really serve the Christian community. This is a sign of his discipline, right? That he's not preoccupied with himself or whether people like him or not. It's all about Jesus, and his life will be lived according to the plan that God has for him rather than the plan he has for himself. St. Martin lived that life in a very practical way in his own pursuit of sanctity. And then we get to the third point, which is love of the Eucharist. I'd like to ask the young woman who was the cantor with the responsorial psalm to come up here and join me. As she comes here, I want you to remember that St. Paul said that what's really important is that in everything, Christ be glorified. So why don't you come here? I hope you're not embarrassed. What is your name? Bernadette Brooks. Doesn't she have a lovely voice? My dear brothers and sisters, when we celebrate the Eucharist, when we gather around this table altar for Mass, what we do is enter into the mystery of God's love for us. And what we should be doing is what Bernadette helped us to understand when she led us in that responsorial psalm. I don't know if you noticed this, but she did it from her memory. She didn't have a text in front of her, which is really extraordinary, Bernadette. But what I want you to do is just sing that responsorial psalm once again, and we're going to respond as you let us. Can you do that? You can do it there, or you can do it right here. You have a lovely voice. It carries either way.
My soul is thirsting, thirsting for the living God.
My soul is thirsting, thirsting for the living God.
But don't go away, Bernadette. When we celebrate Mass, that's what's going on. God is thirsting for us, and then we, in response, thirst from God. That's for God. That's why St. Martin spent all that time in church before the Blessed Sacrament, because he thirsted. Those weren't just words for him. You know, when you're thirsty, just think of a hot summer day when you've been working in the yard, you haven't anything to drink for 3 hours, you just can't wait to have a cold one, whether it's beer or water or something else, you know. Think of that. And the saints, the difference between the saints and me and maybe you, is that they didn't just hope that something would happen, or they kind of wanted to be close to God, but they thirsted for Him. And we have that example. Again, the prayer at the beginning of Mass told us that St. Martin was a radiant example of Christian living. And what's radiant is the size of his thirst. The Lord gives himself to us in the Eucharist and invites us to give ourselves to him as we offer ourselves together to the Father for the glory of God and the salvation of the world. As we celebrate this Mass, let's have Bernadette's words in the depths of our hearts. Let's be singing in our hearts as we celebrate the Eucharist, as she leads us once again in this responsorial song.
My soul is thirsting, thirsting for the living God. My soul is thirsting, thirsting for the living God.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you. I'd also like to take a moment to express our gratitude to the McCloskey family sitting in the front row here, who started the St. Martin de Porres Foundation. I think Matt's father, Matthew, was the one who began it. And that, you know, the focus of so much of the foundation is on catechesis in our African-American parish communities. And I think without them and without their support, we would be in a difficult circumstance. In more difficult circumstance than we already are. So thank you. Thank you very much for your years of faithfulness. St. Martin de Porres, pray for us.